conversation is about whether or not a business should offer big discounted prices or even do the work for free. This is going to be a contentious one, so listen up. As an entrepreneur, realtor, creator, or side hustler, we are often torn by this decision. So today, Sean and I are going to duke it out because we have differing opinions on this, and you'll hear about some of our own struggles, challenges, and pitfalls we've run into along the way from giving away our time, money, and resources, along with the pros and cons of both of these strategies. But more importantly, we'll give you two very, very different perspectives for you to ultimately choose what is best for you and your business.
The Realtor 180 Podcast, where valuable conversations and industry experts collide. Let's dive in and transform your business today.
How are you today?
I'm good. It's been just an incredible week. I mean, fantastic. I don't know, a little over $3 million in offers this past week.
That's fantastic, sure.
That's pretty huge. So I have a lot of, just a lot going on.
That's amazing. That's always great to hear.
It's fun. It just keeps good variety in my life. How are you? What's good in your world?
Doing good. Wrapping up stuff, planning next year. For a lot of people, December seems to slow down. But for me, that's kind of busy time.
Yeah.
It's funny because next year is coming up.
It's interesting with real estate and more specifically San Francisco. We tend to have a spring season, selling buying season. And then we have a fall selling buying season. And then it kind of tapers through the winter across the board. And I would say November, December have been incredibly busy for me. So usually
that's interesting.
Towards the end of the fourth quarter is I start rewriting my business plan and re-strategizing, looking back on the year, figuring out.
Yeah.
I haven't had time. It's been like go. And I have friends in other industries and they're all literally feeling the same thing.
Oh.
Granted, there are some businesses, like restaurants who are in a very different boat unless they pivoted.
I know. I feel like it's kind of a weird time for everyone right now. It depends on the business. Everyone's kind of in a different phase.
Which I feel like this conversation actually parlays really nicely into this conversation because we're all feeling very different things in the business. So to kind of give everybody some more context, I was looking through, I'm a member of a few different realtor to realtor websites and forums, and somebody had posted the question, I really want to be an agent like known in this specific neighborhood, and there's a sales opportunity, an opportunity to sell a home. Should I do the work for free? And I remember sitting next to you and I was like, oh, hell no. Like I blurted out and you're like, but why? And then it evolved into a conversation of us debate of us having two very juxtaposed views on this. And we were like, oh my gosh, this would be a great
It out there. Okay. If everyone's already thinking Cielo is for the camp of doing work for free, I'm not in that camp necessarily. Okay. You will not be able to hire me for free. Let me just say that right now. But okay, let's get into it. What was your take on that?
Immediately, my knee-jerk reaction was no, you should never discount your prices. Mm-hmm. And to give everybody a lot more context, my background is I came from fitness, health and fitness. I sold memberships. And then I've just sold a lot of things for the past 20 years. So I've been in this field for a long time. I do find value in offering discounts to drive revenue. There's value to that. There's marketing psychology to that.
Sure.
And there's value in that. But when somebody says, oh, should I do the work for free? I just have this gut reaction of like, you should.
I can understand why you have that gut reaction. And I think a lot of professionals out there who do charge for their work, it depends when it is, but they are also bothered when somebody else is kind of doing the same work for free or for a discount. I would argue it erodes,
the industry. You undercut the industry.
I can certainly agree with that.
And what ultimately happens is it becomes a race to the bottom.
You don't want to go there.
Correct.
And yes, so I agree with that. And I think the nuance comes in, when are the times that it's okay to offer work for free? And you're like shaking your head.
I'm shaking my head.
You're like, oh, heck no way. Never, ever. But again, it might be different for real estate. And I would say it is a little bit different because what you do is very different from, I think, what I do and some creative work out there. So, I mean, we can go into that.
Yeah. Yeah. In your opinion, like, what is the situation when it's cool to... Oh. I don't even like asking the question.
You don't even like saying the F word. The F word. When is it okay to do the F word?
It's not okay.
Well, okay. I have to say, like, you are the king of negotiations. I turn to you all the time when I need to price something, and you've helped me tremendously with my negotiation skills, and I've been surprised at what I have been able to charge because of your help with that. So I'll give you that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me first say this. I am not against somebody getting paid. I am all for getting paid. Mm-hmm. And if you can do a rookie work, like rookie's work, or mediocre work, or newbie's work, and get paid market price for it.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Amazing for you.
That's the part that I want to pick on a little bit.
Yeah.
Because to break this out, there's you, the individual, mm-hmm. and then there's the business.
Right.
And they're two separate things.
Exactly. Yes.
And the business strategy isn't to do rookie work, yeah. unless it's to do rookie work. But it's set out to do good work.
Sure.
So I don't follow, and I don't...
I think therein lies the difference, business versus individual. If you are a rookie individual and you are new at this,
give me meat and potatoes.
So, for example, photographer. And okay. I'll give my own example, okay? Like, sure. And like all of you photographers on the camp of never do free work, you can yell at me. I've been yelled at for this. But when I was first starting out, mm-hmm. I had zero event photography experience. And I wanted to do event photography.
Okay.
And the only way I could do that was to do event photography for free. And one, I was an individual.
Okay.
I was not yet a business. Okay. So there's a difference there.
No, as soon as you're making money, you're a business. You're a sole proprietor.
Exactly. So clearly it wasn't a business. But in order for me to become a business, I needed that experience. And I don't think anyone would have paid me for the crap work that I was doing as an event photographer, you know, just getting my experience. So here's one example. Somebody totally yelled at me. I shot an event for free. I volunteered. Mm-hmm. And I did not get paid for the work. One, it was an event that was for free, so mm-hmm. they weren't making any money for it. And typically, they only just had photographers who did the work for free. Like, they never paid photographers to shoot that event. And it was kind of like a monthly event.
Yeah.
So I was like, can I do it this time? And they're like, yes, happy to have you. And I, looking back at the photos that I took, there's no way I would have paid for that kind of work. You know, I missed the shots. I missed the money shots. Like, and I was getting in the way of everybody. And it was, there's no way anyone would have paid for that kind of service. There's no way.
And this company doesn't pay anybody?
They didn't pay anybody. It was a volunteer event.
Okay. In that scenario, if they're paying nobody, like literally nobody is getting paid, then you should get some sort of voucher and then
I got into the event for free.
But you should leverage it as a tax write-off.
Sure. Like you could have said like for the hourly, whatever I wrote off, it was like pro bono, whatever.
Sure. So there's a benefit there. Let's say it was a wedding.
Yeah.
And somebody hired you and you didn't have the experience, right? I don't know. I have no idea what a photographer for a wedding would cost. I'm going to make up a number.
So here's
let's say it's 10 G's.
Right? Here's the thing.
Hold on. So if it's $10,000 to shoot a wedding and you're like, I've never shot a wedding, I'm going to screw it up, I don't know the money shot. Take that 10 G's. You're now business and go hire somebody to shoot it with you. And you become their minion for the day.
Sure.
There's a transference of money. Albeit it's not going directly into your pocket, but you're then gaining the experience and you're being able to try and experiment and learn from the person the business actually hired.
I am all to execute. I'm all for that. And in fact, that's what I did. I was pitching to shoot this film, and I clearly don't have the experience to shoot like a whole feature film. And I hired, you know, I teamed up with somebody who's done it before, so that I totally agree with that. Yeah. And I know if it's not like an all, and again, it's nuances, right? It's a case by case basis. That's why I think you can't blanket say you should never do work for free. Like, I would have paid to have gotten that experience. And, you know, I almost want to equate it to somebody who's practicing their craft or their skills. At that point in time, sometimes it's not appropriate to charge. I mean, if you equate it to, say, somebody who's like, you know, trying to become a basketball player, you know, and they're teaming up with some friends to play at a tournament, you know, like, they're not charging anybody to play on that team. You know, they're trying to get their practice in to become better at their craft. And some, and again, it depends on industry. Like, maybe it's not the same for realtors, because what you do, you know, on the first, on your first deal is going to be exactly the same as what you do as your 20th deal. So maybe it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. But I know for photography, like, I was doing free portrait work for my friends and family because I just wanted to get better. Yeah. And I wasn't charging anybody anything.
I don't agree. Like, yeah. I'm having so much trouble with this, because again, if we take the individual and we separate them from the business needs to drive revenue.
I agree.
And then the revenue that it drives, it can hire a freelancer to make up your difference.
Let's go back to my scenario where I was shooting free portraits for friends and family. So you're saying I should have hired somebody to do it with me?
So this one's tricky. Like, portrait photography, that, like, that scenario is just tricky. Because did you have to pay for the equipment?
Well, did you have to pay the camera,
like, right. And did you shoot it inside somewhere? Are you paying rent? Like,
no, there was no overhead besides the camera that I already had.
You didn't already have it. The business had to pay for it. So I don't know. I'm torn on that as well. I feel in my heart of hearts that an exchange of money should happen, just in some capacity, especially if that person is going to use or leverage your work.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, the whole friends and family, that one's always like incredibly tricky to me.
That's such a tricky one.
And one of the ways that I just overcome the friends and family, and I'm probably going to get hate mail for this, but I'm sorry, but I just draw a hard line. I have business expenses and I have people to pay for and I have marketing to pay for. And I can't pay to do my service for you. Like, it just doesn't, like, as a business, it doesn't
make sense. I'm totally agreeing with you here. I think even I right now would not do work for free. And I think if once you have overhead, once you have charged people before to do your work, and then all of a sudden not charge somebody else, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think you like, at this point in time, you have been charging for your services up until this point. Other people have been paying you your asking price. There's no reason why you should be offering your work for free, unless it's some really, really good reason. And I can get into that. Like, for me right now, I rarely do work for free, but there are some cases where I will do work for a discount and or do work for free.
And then to go back with the whole friends and family, have, and I know this through past experiences, but have the general rate for everybody.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. The general public.
Yeah.
And have a rate sheet.
Yeah.
And then have a friends and family rate sheet. And then those, anybody coming to you should fit onto either one of those.
Right.
Because, and I've had this happen, is then you give like this special magical one-off discount.
Yeah.
And somebody else finds out.
Right, right.
And now you have all of this problem of overcoming that, because now other people are going to want to have the discount and they're upset, and it creates other bigger problems for you, especially if you are a membership, like if you're in a gym or you're doing any sort of reoccurring thing.
Sure.
And you keep running these discounts, one, the general public's going to know.
They find out,
hey, if I just wait till the end of the month, that's when I can buy a car and get the best discount. Oh my gosh,
yeah, I have a story about that one. I got all upset.
And that happens all the time. Let's take gyms, for example, and just kind of as a business. Yeah. And then you have these two people. I'm going to make them up. let's say you got Mary and John, and John is like this rock star. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell discounted memberships. And let's say his gym can only hold, I don't know, both of their gyms can only hold 200 people each. And John offers a 50% discount and just slays it, crushes it, and fills up, reaches 200 members, right? So let's say the membership is normally supposed to be $100. He's now charging $50 and he's got 200 members, right? Mm-hmm. On math he's doing, or on paper he's doing well.
Uh-huh.
Right. And Mary took the slow route and she took the time to build her business and build it up over time. And she's doing the slow rate. And instead of doing the $50 a month, she's doing $100 a month. And she's only at 100 members. Mm-hmm. So she's making half the rate.
Yeah.
But she's able to cover all of her costs. And John is at terminal velocity. He can't sell any more memberships.
Well, yeah, because he's filled up.
He's filled up
at that half price.
And you can't start increasing prices because members get salty. Like, why would I start paying more? I've been getting it for $50. I'm not going to pay
Netflix.
$75. Yeah, who just upped their prices. And then what happens, you're like, well, I'll just go to somebody else's gym and I'll get blah, blah, blah. And
Right. And
that's why people start hopping services. So with that scenario, Mary still has 50% runway with her business.
Right.
She can still go out and sell a slew of memberships and make an additional $10,000 a month to continue to grow her business, maybe expand to locations. And to back up, if John's business model was to sell memberships at $100 a month and he's now selling them at $50 a month, he strayed from his business model.
Right.
And that's not cool. Like, you got to know your numbers.
I'm not disagreeing with you. And I think, if you think of gym memberships, and if we take the same analogy, I have certain amount of time in a week.
Agreed.
And if I use that amount of time for free work, then that's the amount of time I'm not going to have to do paid work.
Exactly.
So I'm taking away from myself and it doesn't work out. Like, mathematically, like, if I am trying to hit a certain goal every month and I'm doing free work, and then that's taking up a chunk of my time. Free work is taking up a chunk of my time every month, then I'm never going to hit goal, right? I'm never going to get to that point. I need to readjust my goals basically for that free work that I'm doing.
Exactly.
So for a business, I think most of the time, if you've already been paid for whatever you're doing, whatever you're offering, it doesn't make sense for you to do free work. Mm. But my argument lies in getting to become a business. Like, getting to that point where you finally have overhead, where you finally have, you know, like, bills. Sometimes to become a business, right, you need, like, and maybe there are people out there that charge for portrait photography when they've never done it before, and that is great. But maybe I'm a horrible negotiator. Maybe I should have asked for more. But I'm telling you, for me, it made sense for me to just practice and just kind of, like, have no pressure, make as many mistakes as I could taking other people's portrait photos who never paid me. And it was kind of, was there an exchange of money? No. But did I benefit from it? Absolutely.
So again, to separate the person from the business, if you're then doing it to gain knowledge and experience, and you're saying you're not yet a business, I think that's something different.
Yeah, maybe we're arguing, like, not unnecessarily, because I think we're agreeing on the business front.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to master your craft and you're working on developing the skills in that category, I mean, take a lawyer, for example. Mm-hmm. A lawyer, before they're a lawyer, they're actually paying money
To learn, to
gain their credentials.
Right.
Before they actually go and take the test and do the whole nine yards.
Right.
And then they generally go to a practice, but they're not, like, out of the gate. There's still more developmental steps. So I think we are saying the same thing.
I think so,
we're
too.
We're just talking about different phases of the individuals.
Right, right.
I mean, to go back to the John and Mary scenario, like, Mary didn't have any personal training experience. She didn't have any business experience and was trying to gain that and charge. Like, it's would probably,
she have been able to charge?
She probably can't go out and charge. She's probably paying to go gain the knowledge.
Right.
And again, I think they're different things.
There is that whole blanket statement, though, that people tend to say about never doing work for free. And my argument here is that you can't make that blanket statement because it depends. And you're like,
yes, you can.
Yes, you can. I think it depends on where you are. If you are already a business, or if you're still trying to become a business, or if you're trying to gain the skills, or if you already have the skills and you've already got paying clients, I think it needs to be better defined and better explained, because it isn't a blanket statement. And I have to argue also, here's the thing. Okay, let me bring up the whole Apple thing again. Everyone always asks me, did you get paid for it? Blah, blah, blah. And I know at one point, a few years after they'd been running this ad commercials, you know, the Shot an iPhone thing, they were kind of holding almost a competition for photographers to submit their work. And they weren't, I think they initially were not going to pay the photographers to have their work featured on the billboards. Yeah. And there was a huge outcry. They're like, come on, Apple. And then I'm sure Apple paid.
You're a $1 trillion business.
I know. You can't afford. I know. That kind of, I was like, what the heck? You should at least pay them something. Yeah. And then, you know, people ask me, did I get paid for it? Yes. Did I get paid market rate for it? Oh, heck no. You know, if you think about, like, let's say a professional photographer who has work that is used by a client that is used globally in perpetuity for 5 years, exclusive rights to that photo, and like, that would be thousands of dollars. Let me just say that. Thousands of dollars that photographer would have been paid. Did Apple pay photographers thousands of dollars? I can only speak for myself and a few handful of others that I know are I'm friends with that had their work featured. We were paid in the hundreds. But would I have turned that down and said, I'm sorry, Apple, you're not paying me enough? I don't think so.
So,
because there was another gain.
Correct. There was a non-monetary gain,
right?
But there was a gain. So what I did with my business when I started is I remember doing this. I sat down and I wrote a list. I will. And then on the other side, I drew a line down the center. And on the other side, I said, I will not. And on the will side, that's like having a celebrity client. Like, would I do a discount for a celebrity client?
Yeah,
I would.
Okay, there we go. Like, Sean said he would do some discounted work, everyone.
Like, but what's the discount is on the initial monetary gain, but the monetary gain on the back end of being associated with that celebrity.
Exactly.
That is massive.
Right.
So that's not a zero exchange. Like there's a
gain for you, a non-monetary.
And that's like celebrity endorsement. Like for a celebrity endorsement, I would have to pay money for that. So me paying money to work with a celebrity, I would absolutely do that all day long.
Yeah.
That's on my I will list.
Yes.
Like, so to go back on my I will list, I know how much it costs me to sell a home in San Francisco. I know it. I have all my numbers. Mm-hmm. So when somebody's like, hey, can you do it for half? I'm sorry, I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
yeah.
Here's my costs.
Yeah.
So that
definitely, unless there's some non-monetary gain that is worth it for you.
Correct. And here's what I do. Like, I literally do this with clients. Here's everything that I offer you with my services. Here are all my associated costs. If you want a discount, which of these things would you like to remove from the list?
Yeah. And you have coached me on that. And I have to absolutely say that works.
And that's a trade. I'm giving you a lower price, but I'm doing less work.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not giving a discount.
Yeah. You're doing less work.
I'm doing less work. Yeah. I'm going to show up less.
Right.
I'm getting back my time and my money. So you're not gaining. So
you're not getting a discount.
And I've had people straight up say to me, like, I'm only paying X percent or I'm going to hire somebody else. And I'm saying, no problem.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Because I can't pay to do the service for you. It doesn't make sense.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I think that is a great solution. I think that's one of the things that you've really helped me with. And when I negotiate my prices, and obviously every client asks for less, I don't know anyone that has asked, like, oh, can I pay you more than what you're asking for?
Never. I did actually. You know what's funny is I actually did that to somebody the other day. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Anything in the world. Any person purchasing anything.
I know.
Anything.
Always
like, listen to what I'm saying. Like, hang on to every word. I don't care if you're buying a TV, a Maserati, if you're buying a shoe. Like, I don't care what it is. And no one buys just a shoe. You buy shoes. You buy
one shoe.
But whatever it is, it always costs too much. We always want a discount. So you, on the flip side, as a business, as a salesperson, you should know how to handle that objection. It's
yes.
going to happen, and it's going to be the number one objection
always,
you're
yes.
going to hear all the time.
Time and money.
Always, always, always be yeah. able to give an executive summary immediately after, followed by, and this is... like, because of that, this is why we charge this price.
Sure. We could go on and on about examples. Oh, here's where I stand, everybody. I think I have done work for free and I have done discounted work. Discounted work, Apple scenario right there. Another one is where I coached a famous director for a highly discounted price because I wanted to pick his brain. And I was like, I even told him, I was like, this is not typically what I charge, but I'm happy to charge this low cost. But in exchange, I want an hour of your time every week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I don't know how much he charged, you know. And like, that was the best thing ever. Like, I'm so glad I charged, because now we are like actually friends, and you know, I've got this connection and I've got this resource and an advisor. So I think in certain times, like if it's not what you typically charge, make sure you're getting something on the back end, like non-monetary.
I agree.
Like if it's prestige by having Apple on your resume, or if you're having, you know, creating a relationship with a director,
yes.
you know, like, then yes, in those cases, it's okay. Otherwise, like you said, I think you should have your yes and no list. Like, I will do this, you know, like really clearly outline for yourself when you will do free work, discounted yeah. work, and when you will not.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And this is really important, is when you're faced with a problem and it's an emotional one, it's an emotional decision, it's really hard to detach yourself from the emotion of the moment.
Yeah.
So take a moment now before those situations yeah. are happening and write your list out.
Yeah.
And this way, when you get to that threshold, like, will I offer a discounted price to work with a significant brand, significant client?
Yeah.
And then yes, like yep. that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can even put, because it would normally cost me X amount of dollars, or it's financially impossible to have Apple hire me.
Right.
Like, you can't do it. Like, yeah. you can't hire them to put you on their billboard.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Not
it's
possible.
It's like an amazing opportunity. There's no way.
So then right next to right. that, yes, I would do that.
Yeah.
But you know it in advance.
Yes.
And then this way, when Joe Schmo, random person, says, hey, will you give a discount? Then yeah. you should know how to argue that.
Right.
So my executive summary of this conversation is, well, first, view your business as a business. Like, you're a business. You are not the business. The business is a business. And you work for that business. And really wrap your brain around that one.
Mm-hmm.
And the business has things that it can and can't do.
Yep.
And the business itself should then know its numbers. What I would say to any solopreneur out there is be really comfortable with being uncomfortable. Meaning, learn how to negotiate.
Yeah, I have to agree. You have to learn to negotiate. But like I said earlier, it's not a blanket statement. There are times, and I still do, but there's a huge gain that is not monetary, always on the other side. So make sure if you're going to discount or do work for free that you're getting a whole lot more on the other side.
On the back end,
yeah.
Correct. And I would say really take some time, and there's some fantastic books out there to learn essential negotiation skills, learn essential sales skills, and develop those.
Could you recommend a couple of really good books that will really help folks out? Because I know you've definitely helped me.
Oh, The Insider's Guide to Home Buying, the San Francisco edition by Sean Kunkler. insert shameless plug. Chris Voss, former FBI agent.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
wrote
one.
Wrote a book. It's called Never Split the Difference.
That's a great one.
That one's a great read. My hack is buy the Audible version. and play it at 2x and just really get that stuff into your brain. But more importantly, look for opportunities to use it. You have to practice this. Sales and negotiation are perishable skills.
Yeah.
And they have to be worked on. For sales, oh my gosh, there's a bazillion books.
I would say my favorite one that I read is That Never Split the Difference. And that was the one you recommended to me that was super helpful. I recommended it to other folks. And I know us creatives, we have a hard time negotiating and this is not our strength. So I highly recommend getting this book.
Yeah, that one's really good. Brian Tracy, he's kind of a very old school. He's been around forever. Sales trainer. Love his stuff. Jordan Belfort has the Straight Line Persuasion. Mm. He has a few books.
Awesome.
I mean,
these are all great books.
There's tons and tons of books. But again, sales is a perishable skill. And so is negotiating. And everything is a negotiation.
Yes.
Anytime you're trying to persuade somebody to see something from your point of view, you need to know how to use your words carefully and selectively to position yourself. And so anyways, I just firmly believe in that. And then when it comes to negotiating for your business, I love playing the blame game. Love it. This one's hands down the best one. Well, let me give you an example of how to play the blame game. Is if you blame it on somebody who's not there, the recipient can't argue against that person. Like if I said, I have the recipe that my grandmother who passed away said is the best recipe in the entire world, you can't argue that because my grandma's not here. It's impossible. So now you can only be the judge if it's good or not, right? So if you're sitting down and you're negotiating, and somebody asks, hey, can you cut this price in half? Can you do this? Say, I would need to go talk to my business partner.
Mm.
Or, I'm sorry, but we ran over our financials multiple times, and the price I'm sharing with you is the lowest, the absolute lowest that I can offer.
So you're blaming it on your...
And you're blaming it on something that's somewhere else. It's not you. Mm. You've pivoted the...
From you instead of you. I, it's like correct. My business partner or whatever.
Or, like, you know, I've reviewed my books inside and out and I have X amount of costs. You know, it's like when you buy a car to sell, there's a specific price for the car, all the carrying costs for employees, the business, everything else. And there's a minimum that the car cannot be sold or financially this doesn't make sense.
Yes.
And go back and essentially do an audit of that with the person to show them that, hey, they're actually getting an awesome price, period.
Yeah.
I would say the last thing is, aside from having the I will list and I will not list, is just be creative.
Yeah.
If somebody wants your service and can't afford it, be creative. You can find the solution.
Yep. I think that's great. These are all really great solutions. So for those of you out there who's been doing free work, stop it or make sure you get something on the flip side, which is what I typically do. I make sure there's something in it for me that is not monetary. All right. Well, we hope you found that helpful. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Realtor 180, where industry experts elevate your business. Be sure to subscribe and share this episode with a friend. Until next time, keep thriving.